Hi, everybody. I'm Bailey.
I'm Drew.
I'm Lacey.
And we're sarcastic, so let's get sinister. Hi.
Hi.
Hi, guys.
Any news?
Not for me.
Okay.
It is. We're recording on Friday the 13th.
Yes. Yes. I did want to. Yes. I knew that there was something spooky.
This one is not so much of a spook. Well, no, it's not a spooky case. That's it's a Christmassy case.
Oh. Is there murder?
Don't Maybe. Tell. We'll find out.
Yeah. I won't.
Wait, why does the name look familiar?
I think you'll probably remember the story as we get into it.
I feel like you guys recognize so many of them, and I hardly ever do.
Well, so I didn't recognize her name, and then as I started like researching, I was like, oh, I kind of remember this one.
Was she found in a car?
Aren't we all found in cars?
Don't make her spoil the ending.
Okay. How is it Christmassy?
Because when it takes place.
Okay. Speaking of Christmas, is ever how are you guys?
I don't have anything bought or wrapped.
Oh. I found out this won't involve you, Lacey, but I found out who. Two of the three of Adam's family has
your Secret Santa stuff.
Yeah, it's what Lacey. The way that Secret Santa works for our family is that it starts off very secretive, and then by Christmas, everyone knows who everyone has, and it's not because the gift exchange. It's because
you're bad secret keepers.
That, and then, like, for example, someone will text me and say, hey, what do X and Y want for Christmas? And I'm like, why do you want to know?
This is also, yeah, because I will get texts for Pat, like, being like, oh, what does he want? And then I instantly know.
Yep.
And then Drew and I talk enough that I was also just bitching, complaining about mine because.
Yeah. I know.
I have the same person like last year, and it's just.
I know who Bailey has. I know who everyone in my family has. So, Lewis, me, and the children. I know who everybody has. Oh my God.
That was a scary movie laugh.
Can you not? That.
Friday the 13th. What?
Yeah, that was terrible.
Oh my God.
I'm so sorry you have to live with that.
That's spooky.
Thank you.
Imagine being asleep. Imagine if she was asleep right now and that woke her up out of her sleep.
Oh, he'd get punched horrifying. In the face. Also, right, I can sleep through his snoring, which is way worse. That's not going to wake me up. Side note, have you ever heard him do the you're going to die clown from Happy Gilmore and then that laugh?
No, but I can imagine.
He's based really good at it.
Yeah. I am. Speaking of Happy Gilmore, I was doing some shopping for Secret Santa.
For who?
For Happy Gilmore stuff.
For who?
I feel like you could probably figure it out based on those two facts.
We all like Happy Gilmore.
That's true. Anyway, it wasn't for me. Actually, I don't know who has who. I just know who the four, like me and the three kids have. I don't remember who has who. But anyway, I was doing some shopping for that and I was just like looking at quotes and I was like, that's such a good movie.
I can't wait for the second one to come out.
Yeah.
Anyway, should we get into it?
Well, no, yes. I was asking how your Christmases was and then you and I started talking about Secret Santa and poor Lacey's over here being sad with her tiny little tree in the corner.
My tiny little tree. It's downstairs.
I don't even have my tree set up yet.
Yeah, we put up our one that we had from the last couple of years when we were living in the basement. Yeah. And we didn't go out and get like a tree this year. So we set it up and Brandon was like, it looks so small. So then we put it up on the table and now it's taller. But, yeah, I sent the picture so Drew could see the tree skirt.
It still kind of looks sad. Anyway,
I can't find my ornaments since we moved. So there's one ornament and a dragon.
So it's a Charlie Brown Christmas.
Yeah. The new ornament that we just got a couple weeks ago, and then a dragon that a student 3D printed for me is just draped in the branches.
I saw a TikTok where the mom got a terrible tree, so the son, every time they were talking about it, would go, Christmas time!
That's mom's fault for getting a terrible tree.
And she would, stop! It's so cute! Stop! Oh, goodness.
Okay, today we're going to be talking about Thelma Todd.
I guess we're done chatting.
Well, it's going on for like 5 minutes or 6 minutes. We're going to lose some people.
Does she have a friend named Louise?
No.
Okay.
Thelma and Louise. It was.
No, I got it. It just was, yeah.
The only Thelma I've ever heard of, so just.
Okay. So, Thelma was born July 29th, 1906. To parents John and Alice Edwards in Lawrence, Massachusetts. She was the first of two children. She had a younger brother named William. Her father, John, was a former police officer and entered politics. At the age of 10, her dad became the director of public health and welfare, so he was gone from the family very frequently, off to work and stuff. Thelma was a great student and a beautiful girl. Hence, you can see. She dreamed about being a school teacher at first. And after high school, she enrolled in Laurel State School in Massachusetts to go to become a teacher.
I thought you were going to say she dreamed of being a movie star, because that's the vibe of these pictures.
Well, things change.
Things change.
At 19, her younger brother was killed.
Oh.
This caused a lot of like turmoil. Yeah, through the family, and then she started dreaming about moving away and starting a new life, which kind of put it in her head about going to acting. During this time, she also began competing in beauty contests or pageants. 1925, she was crowned Miss Lawrence, which again was her hometown. She went on to compete for Miss Massachusetts, and she actually won. And then she had the opportunity to compete for Miss America, but she lost to Miss California. Bitch. Yeah. During these contests, though, she did run into a talent scout working for the studio, which is now known as Paramount, and they discovered her.
Ooh.
They invited her for a screen test, which she did wonderful in, and she became one of 16 attendees to train at a facility in New York, with the condition that she'd lose 10 pounds, because it's the 20s in show business. At the New York facility, she fell in love with another classmate named Robert Andrews. But the studio said, fuck that, and was like, you're not dating. That's not going to happen. Thelma said, fuck you guys, and started revenge of being extra sexy and flirtatious with the studio executives, I guess to make them like uncomfortable or whatever. And this gave her the nickname of Hot Toddy.
Oh, couple things.
Yeah.
One, that's a drink. Two,
it's a drink because of her. I don't know.
Oh, I was gonna say, which came first? I'm gonna look that up.
I say we give her credit. Don't look it up. We'll just give her the credit.
I actually wanted to look it up because I was like, I feel like it's tea, but I also feel like it's alcohol.
It's tea with alcohol.
Yeah, that's what I'm finding. Apparently it's good for a cold.
What? That's like saying that's back when they were like
tea and honey and whiskey.
That's back when they were saying put bourbon on the gums of toddlers while they're teething, and that'll make it feel better.
I've definitely whipped up versions of beverage made of
alcoholic liquor with hot water, sugar, and spices.
Alcoholic liquor. I've definitely whipped up random versions of hot toddies when I had like a sore throat and stuff.
Okay. So the other thing that I just wanted to like wrap my head around. First they told her to lose 10 pounds and she was like, dope. Then they were like, nah, you can't date that guy, and she was like, not dope. But instead of dating the guy anyway, she was like, I'm just gonna like
make you guys uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I think I forgot to write it down, but the studio was like, no, you're not doing that, because they didn't want like bad rumors around like this training program and everything, because I think it was new, so that's why they had a loose
woman on set.
Yeah,
well, yeah, that would be worse. That would be the worst thing in the world.
The worst thing that could happen.
A siren, a harlot,
a floozy.
So in 1926, she made her film debut in a film called Fascinating Youth, which I'm not really sure what it's about, but you know, sounds young fascinating. Her mother was initially very excited for her success, but upon seeing a public photo of her depicted as the pretty girl in like a flimsy costume, she was like, no.
It's a silent movie.
Okay.
I looked it up.
Okay. Her mom was upset, came down to New York to vocalize her moral objections. This pissed off the studio even more. Already with, like, Thelma's attitude and, like, her not wanting to, like, just
play nice.
The rules.
Yeah. So they pretty much were like, you can either go home or you could take this seriously and you can relocate to Hollywood. Oh, it looks like a fun, interesting.
Bobsledding, dancing, ice skating.
Fascinating youth.
Yeah, it's everything that I've done in my youth.
And they certainly look like floozies in those outfits.
When I wrote that down, I couldn't help but think of like Schmidt from, New Girl,
Youth.
So at 19, she packed up and left the East Coast.
Oh, wow. She did it.
In LA, she entered a 5-year, $75 per week contract with Paramount.
It's not bad.
It was like 20-something, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Good for her.
Yeah. Around this time, so that was a silent film. Around this time, talkies were discovered and were all the rage. Which, why don't we call movies talkies anymore?
Let's bring it back.
Yeah. So, in Hollywood at this transition, when talkies were coming out, a lot of the silent film stars who were, like, at the height of success and, like, fame had to retire because people were very off-put with their how their voices sounded, which is so awful.
You work
so hard to like be in so many movies, and the second you open your mouth, it's so off-putting. Anyway,
it's like
pretty enough to look at, but I cannot listen to you.
It's like the opposite of when they tell you that you've got a face made for radio.
Yeah.
Oh, so mean. Sorry, readjusting. So, that was not the case for Thelma. She excelled in the transition from silent to talkies, and she was known to have a wisecracking persona. She was mostly in comedies, too. Her contract with Paramount didn't last long, and they discharged her in 1929. At that point, she met Hal Roach. He offered her a new movie deal that would allow her pretty much like freelance. It wasn't just she was signed to a studio and had to do all of their movies. She was reluctant to take this deal because of the conditions. First condition, she had to bleach her hair platinum blonde.
Why?
Because she needs to be a blonde bombshell. I don't know. Second condition, she was to abide by the potato clause. Which tell sounds like that. Okay. So pretty much when she signed her contract, she pretty much had like a weigh-in. And if she was to gain more than 5 pounds, the contract would be terminated.
Like a 5-pound bag of potatoes? Is that why it's called the potato clause?
You know, I didn't research why the name was there, but
If somebody told me, hey, we need you to sign the potato clause, I'd be like, fuck yes. Potatoes. And then they're like, it means you can't gain 5 pounds. Like, what kind of trickery is this?
Yeah, I think that it's along that those vibes, Lacey. Yeah. I remember.
Be terribly disappointed.
This story.
Again, it's 1920. I'm not making excuses, but
it makes sense for
it's how it was back then. It wasn't great. She agreed though, and she made many comedies with Hal. She also enjoyed the party scene, and she found it difficult to maintain her weight with liquor and food. Which, I get it.
She found it hard to maintain her weight with liquor and food.
She really enjoyed both, so she, like, yeah.
Why didn't she just cut food out of her diet?
Drew, thankfully, acquaintances with the studio, or with Hal, got her on some diet pills. That's and that fixed everything. And she got so addicted to them.
Oh, no. Doesn't sound like a fix.
Well, it's a nice maintain. In the 1930s, she met a older director named Roland West, which... I don't know if anyone's a Schitt's Creek fan.
Roland Schitt?
Yeah, I didn't know Roland was, like, actually a legit name.
I've never met a Roland, but I've heard the name Roland before.
What's, I feel like I've heard of somebody named... Oh. Well, I was gonna say, I feel like I've heard of somebody named Roland Park. But that's just a park.
It's got to be named after someone. Anyway, so Roland was a director. He was older, and he was married to the silent movie star Jule Carmen. He was one of the most respected directors during the 20s and early 30s. He didn't have a lot of movies, but the ones that he did very well. So... quality over quantity for him. Mm-hmm. The two started developing feelings for each other and eventually began an affair. Sure. They would date on and off through the years. Between 1930 and 1935, she appeared in 77 films, wow, starring the Marx Brothers, Cary Grant, and many others who I didn't recognize the names of. That photo on the right is her with Cary Grant.
My mom loves Cary.
He's just, you know, have you ever like, I mean, to me, this is what he gives off. You know, like when you like find someone, they're just like too pretty.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
He's giving that vibe.
The way that I like explain it is that like, I can see why people find certain people attractive. Like, I see the components, and I'm like, yeah. I get it.
Without feeling it yourself.
Yeah, it doesn't do anything for me, though.
Yeah.
Like, he has a very nice face.
Don't want to do anything with it.
So after her relationship with West kind of fizzled, she met a man named Pasquale DeSicco.
Oh, I thought that was him.
No, that's West. Also, Pat Pascal went by Pat, so we're gonna call him Pat. He was a handsome New York playboy who was associated with gangsters for the thrill.
I mean, who
that's
isn't?
A wild thrill.
Yeah,
that's risky, but you know, that's just me.
He was new to Hollywood and promoted himself as a talent agent and began making appearances through the restaurant and nightclub scene. Rumors in the movie industry circulated saying that he was associated with Charles Lucky Lucchino, a gangster from New York. And there was also rumors that Pat was actually a mob enforcer.
Ooh.
Yeah. So, he's a dangerous man.
I'm choosing to pretend that when you say Pat, you're talking about your hubs.
Sure. He could be a mob enforcer.
It makes us feel like we're part of it because we know Pat.
Okay. Thelma and Pat had a whirlwind romance despite some, short upcomings. Like, he had a really violent temper and, he liked to beat her.
He's also
That's
married.
A shortcoming. For sure.
Yeah. But they still were in love and eloped on July 10th. Yeah.
Despite some shortcomings, like beating her sometimes.
He never closed cabinets. He always left the toilet seat up. And he also beat the shit out of her on a regular basis. Yeah. Minor things that you just got to overlook in marriage.
Only when she wouldn't listen, Drew.
Yeah, that's why it's acceptable.
Shocking. Their marriage didn't go great.
I am shocked.
Well, Pat refused to settle down into married life. He would, leave her alone in the home for, multiple days, which, honestly, who cares? But, she wasn't really a partner. He also would just, take random trips back to New York to, work or do whatever. But this left Thelma alone, frustrated, and she started to drink heavier.
Yeah, what else are you gonna do when you're alone?
His fault. I blame him.
She also started hanging around with Lucky, the gangster from New York, while Pascal was away.
I mean,
she probably felt safe with him.
Sure. February 1934, she filed for divorce. Around that time, her and Lucky actually had a full-on affair, and it was a really loving, beautiful relationship. Just kidding. It was really violent, and he started to supply her with amphetamines to help keep her weight down.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
It's a slippery slope, those amphetamines.
I think that's the bottom.
You've been sliding.
You're there.
What's at the bottom of that slippery slope there, Lace?
Amphetamines.
Death.
Oh, okay.
In August 1934, Thelma and Roland, because they were still friends, began making plans to open a restaurant on the beach. They created Thelma Todd's Sidewalk Cafe. You can go to the next slide, Drew.
I'm picturing, them planning this while high on amphetamines. So it's very, we're going to get a cafe. We're going to put people in it. That's what I'm
picturing. Food. It's exciting.
So Roland's wife, because he's still married, even though they were estranged, she helped pay for the cafe. While Roland was managing it, and Thelma used her name on it because she was a famous actress.
Mm-hmm.
And they were all they were all owners, which
it's a fun
love triangle and interesting dynamic.
Yeah, I don't know if I would be willing to foot the bill for that, but you know.
You know, for your estranged husband's on and off lover. No, you wouldn't do that. Interesting.
Even if it wasn't for a lover, just the estranged husband aspect of it would
just
give
that.
Me pause.
Wow. I'm going to tell Lewis and Brandon.
You can tell them.
Yeah.
I don't think she'd do it for me either.
So
it was think that they would be shocked by that.
It still hurts. It was located on the Pacific Coast Highway, which is like right by the beach. It's actually kind of looks pretty. The restaurant occupied the ground floor along with a drugstore. So if you look in the photo, the restaurant's like kind of like to the left there or to the right there. Like the, yeah, there. The second floor had a bar, a lounge, Roland's business office, as well as two apartments. One was split between West and Thelma. It was separated by a sliding door, but they pretty much shared an apartment.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like her mom was onto something when she came storming down to wherever she was recording and was like, I don't want you involved in this life. I think that maybe we all should have listened.
But at the same time,
the moral of the story, always listen to your mother, Lacey. Is that what you're trying to get off?
It sounds like it. I know it's early times. Yeah, I know we're not done, but maybe.
Right. You think there's going to be a giant twist in the end when we're all like, her mother was wrong.
So looking at the photo, you see the mountains in the back, how there's like buildings in the mountains.
Yeah.
So amongst those buildings and homes was actually Roland's ex or estranged wife's home.
Okay.
Well, yeah, you got to stay close.
Yeah.
If you're going to do the love triangle thing.
With that home, there was a two-car garage that Thelma would use to store her car. To reach the garage and the home from the restaurant, it required, you're pretty much climbing up the side of a mountain. But it was, they had concrete steps and still do. There's about 270. This comes many. Into it later. Yes.
So many.
It's a trek. So Thelma worked hard. She was trying to make the cafe a success. She looked at it as a retirement fund for herself. Their specialty was seafood, specifically crab, lobster, shrimp, and oysters. And the restaurant attracted many Hollywood stars and also fans. With the restaurant's success, because she's still kind of like having an affair with Lucky the mobster, Lucky started pressuring her about using a storage room on the third level as a gambling parlor. Illegally.
What?
Yeah. At this time, organized crime was moving like into California. It wasn't as big as it was like in like New York and Chicago at the time, but it was getting there. And this was Lucky's expansion. He was already involved in prostitution and drugs, obviously, because he's supplying Thelma. But good for Thelma. She declined and told him pretty much F off.
She's got a lot of balls.
Yeah, she does. She continued to work on films while running the cafe. Side note, she was also, had a stalker from New York, which is kind of long distance.
Yeah.
She would receive
in the
30s. Yeah. She started receiving several threatening letters demanding sizable blackmail money, like $10,000. And they later were able to prove that it was the work of a stalker in New York.
Huh. Why? Sorry, so the letters the guy wrote was just like, give me money?
I think so. I don't think I read one.
That's illegal?
Asking for a handout?
Maybe he threatened to expose some information or something. Because I feel like for it to be blackmail, there has to be some kind of threat.
Yeah, you have to have something over them.
Yeah, I feel like you can't get in trouble for just being like, hey, can I have some money?
Send me money.
Yeah. Okay.
Now we're getting into the Christmassy aspect.
Yay!
So on December 14th, 1935, she attended a party in her honor at a nightclub.
Tomorrow.
Yes. Witnesses reported that she was good spirits and having fun. She was drinking champagne and whiskey. Side note, her, do you want to guess what her favorite cocktail was?
Champagne and whiskey? A hot toddy.
I thought you were saying champagne and whiskey, Drew. Like, that was the drink. She liked a nice champagne and whiskey, and I was
a little horrified. Bubbles.
Yeah, that's smoky that's flavor. What I was saying. She mixed them together. And called it a Thelmatod.
Ooh.
I just realized that they called her a hot toddy because her last name was Todd.
Glad to be here with you, experiencing things in real time.
Hi. She's so pretty. No, her favorite drink was Three Fingers of Rye.
What is that?
No.
So it's when you pour, so usually it's like two fingers or whatever, because that's like what a shot is. But essentially, when you have a rocks glass, you are filling it up three fingers worth, and it's going to be just straight whiskey.
So, like, basically, so it wasn't a trick question.
She really did just want whiskey.
She's like mainlining whiskey.
Mainlining.
Not wasting her time.
Yeah.
So, it just like a double shot of whiskey?
It might even be a triple, honestly.
I thought it was going to be something fancy, like a apple martini or something. Yeah.
It's liquor.
Thelma's were rebellious. Anyway, at the end of the night, while waiting for her driver, she asked her friend Sid to call Roland to tell him that she was on her way home. Because remember, they shared an apartment, pretty much.
Yeah, oh, yeah, I'd like to commend her for not drinking and driving.
Yeah. Well, sounds like crashed. It's going to be one of the last decisions she gets.
She crashed a car previously. So... Sid said that she should. Sid told Roland that she should be getting back to the apartment around like 2:30 a.m. But her car didn't arrive to pick her up until about 3, which got her back to her apartment around like 3:30-ish. Peters, her driver, offered as always to walk her up to the door, but she declined his offer. And that was the last time she was seen alive.
Lacey was so, right.
That was right.
December 16th at 10 a.m. It was a Monday now.
Yeah, yes. That's a couple.
Yeah.
That's not
May Whitehead, Thelma's maid, entered the garage at Carmen West's house.
Is it okay if we're on this?
Yeah. May was, one of May's jobs was to obtain the car for Thelma, move it down the hill to the cafe so Thelma could easily use it, just so she didn't have to go up the stairs. When she entered the garage, the car... Yes.
This lady's job was... One of her jobs was to move the car to the bottom of the hill so that Thelma wouldn't have to take the stairs.
Yes.
So then she would have... The lady would have to take all the stairs.
I mean, she's getting paid.
Her job.
Mm-hmm. Can you imagine the calves on her?
I think if we interviewed, celebrity assistants nowadays, that's going to look very mild.
Fair.
As May entered the garage, she noticed that the car was already running. Now I'm going to read a quote from the LA Times. Back when this happened, coagulated blood marred the screen comedian's features and stained her mauve and silver evening gown, her expensive mink coat when she was found, her blonde locks pathetically awry in the front seat of her automobile in the garage of Roland West, film producer and director, in front of West's residence. less than 500 yards from Miss Todd's Cafe on Roosevelt Highway, which was now Pacific Coast Highway. She found Thelma dead in the front seat, lying face down. Her blonde hair was matted, skin was pale, and she was still dressed in the clothes from Saturday night, with her jewelry and her mink coat still on.
So, sorry, you didn't pause to let us respond to the...
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I did.
Well, I'm just like, why did we call her hair pathetic?
I think they were saying, didn't you say it was like pathetically awry? So I think it was like, compared to how it usually was when she was alive, it was sad and pathetic. Yeah. Because she's dead.
I don't like that. I feel like there are other words to use rather than pathetic
to describe. News reports used to be so, like, cinematic.
I enjoy the fact that they use coagulated.
Yeah, it was good. Good word. Someone must be smart.
May I continue?
Sure was a smart guy back then using that word.
That's my contribution.
Love
he must
it.
Have been smart.
So, she was still dressed in everything from Saturday night, and had expensive jewelry on, and a mink coat, which, all expensive things.
No. What? She lives with people.
She yeah. lives...
Found her?
No.
Well, they probably were. I mean, her ride didn't even come until, like, 3:30, right?
Yeah.
I feel like, now, I imagine they were also partiers, but I don't think it's unreasonable to assume that they were asleep by the time she got home.
Okay, but then what about all Sunday?
I forgot it wasn't the next day.
Yeah.
I was thinking it was the next morning.
They just laid in bed all Sunday?
They weren't good roommates. Do you remember that time, though, that we had a fire drill and we left one of our roommates in the bedroom?
Yeah.
She would have died and people would have been talking about it on a podcast and be like, none of the other three people in the apartment made sure she got out. She slept hard.
She had headphones in.
That's what it was. It was her headphones.
She had headphones in. She was snoring. And she had like a space heater going. So there was like a quiet buzz.
But you see how people could, you know, be missed? That's me tying it into real events in my life.
When you're on an airplane and it's going down, you put your own mask off first.
Yeah. And then you leave the airplane and do not help the people around you with their masks.
Exactly.
And then you all gather on the tarmac and you go, did anybody put a mask on that guy?
No. If we talk about the bomberos.
Yeah.
You remember? We were talking about the firefighters.
Ah, firefighters. I wonder how she's doing.
Oh, the roommate.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure she's doing great. I don't remember anything other than her first name.
Okay. So, it was determined that the cause of death was carbon monoxide poisoning, believed to have happened between 4 and 5 a.m. Sunday morning. During the autopsy, it was found that her blood contained 75% to 80% carbon monoxide saturation. There was also alcohol still found in her system, and she was discovered to have a broken nose that caused blood on her face and her clothes, and two broken ribs.
Huh. That doesn't sound like a carbon monoxide injury.
Yeah.
Not an expert.
So... originally, suicide was on the table, but was ruled out based on the fact that she was in the works for a movie part that she, like, was really excited for. Mm. And the fact that there was, quote, more than 100 Christmas presents wrapped and ready to send out in her apartment. So Christmas, see?
She couldn't have killed herself. She had so many presents to give.
There was also, like, no note. So, not with the fact that, like, she's got two busted ribs. Where the fuck did that come from?
Suspicious.
Yeah. So, it's believed that Thelma returned home, found her apartment door was locked and without a key, She walked up where her car was stored, decided to sleep in her car for the night, but got cold at some point and turned on the car, forgetting about the smoke inhalation. There's many problems with this story.
Yes, thank you.
Tell us some. For starters, her hair was somewhat neat, and it's 270 steps. Like, my hair is not going to be pretty. Also, her heels didn't appear scuffed up or look like she went trekking upstairs or anything.
Interesting.
Also, how did she get two broken ribs and a busted nose? I saw some theories are that, like, when she was, like, starting to, like, doze off from the smoke, she could have, like, hit the steering wheel and busted her nose that way. But I mean,
you have to really hit to break your nose on it.
I have a theory.
And also, yeah.
The boyfriend beat her up, broke her ribs, broke her nose, and then also she carried her shoes while she walked up the stairs.
Okay. The ignition was still running in the car when her body was found, meaning that there was enough fuel in the tank. Which it should have been drained, or theoretically it should have been drained by the time that she was found. Because if she started it, let's say Sunday morning, she wasn't found until like 10 the next day. Seems like a lot. And it's the fucking 30s. Like, how much gas do they use back then? Or hold. Another thing was Thelma's mom said that she was newly diagnosed with a heart condition, so it would have been really unlikely that she climbed up the stairs. And the only information I could find on, like, the heart condition was that she was, like, having, like, fainting spells. So, according to West Roland, this wasn't the first time she's been locked out, but previously she was able to, like, break into a window and, like, wake him up to let her in. So why didn't she do that this time?
Yeah.
During the investigation, Wes contradicted himself several times, changing his story about his activities over the weekend. He also revealed later that they did have an argument before she left, and he warned her that if she wasn't back by 2 a.m., he would lock her out.
She had warning.
The front door was examined by investigators and did reveal marks where it was apparently, like, kicked and pounded on to try to get, like, attention, I guess. Carmen, the estranged ex-wife, or current wife, claimed to have seen Thelma Sunday morning. She swore that she saw her driving in the neighborhood with a handsome stranger.
Interesting, because she was dead.
Yeah. A coroner's inquest was held with a lot of information bounced around, a lot of contradictions. The jury ended up ruling her death accidental, carbon monoxide poisoning. They were just kind of really all over the place and just couldn't, there wasn't enough evidence for murder. Thelma's personal attorney attempted to get a second inquest, believing that he could prove it was Lucky, the guy she was having an affair with, the mobster. The DA agreed to the second inquest and it was scheduled. However, Hal Roach, a producer that she worked with, that was still probably a friend, begged the DA to drop it, terrified about crossing the mobster, and the DA caved, and the inquest died, and they were settled with, she died accidentally. Another fun thing during the inquest that was found was a friend of Thelma's, Miss Wallace Ford, testified that she received a call Sunday in the afternoon from her friend, calling herself Hot Toddy, asking about a party that evening. The conversation was like Hot Toddy was asking if she could bring someone to the party, and Ford was like, "Oh, is it a girlfriend?" And she goes, "No, it's a man," but she never gave the name over. So that was that phone call that even made it even more confusing during the inquest. So we have a few possible suspects.
Okay.
So first off is West, Roland West. Specifically, he like could have deliberately locked her out. He was said to be a jealous man, and if she was seeing other men or having other affairs, he could have been really annoyed. There's also Carmen. Even though she's estranged from her ex-husband or her husband, she still could be like, fuck Thelma for fucking my man. There's Lucky, who was trying to get into her cafe. And someone else, I saw that it was pointed out that a lot of the police officers were getting paid by the mob at the time, so they could have swept some stuff under the rug. And then there's always the angry ex-husband, Pat.
Ah, almost forgot about Pat.
She had a lot of toxic men in her life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have any thoughts or theories before I conclude?
I don't know. I feel like those couple that you just listed are all good possibilities, but I don't feel like there's any like good motive for any of them, unless it was more of a spur of the moment thing. Like, it seems like she got into it with somebody because of the broken nose and what was the other thing, broken rib?
Yeah,
two broken ribs.
First, what would the motive be for Pat?
He was also a violent man. Maybe he didn't like her moving on or something.
Yeah, he had hit her before.
Yeah, I don't see it being a premeditated thing at all.
Okay. So let me break this down. Do we know if she like do we know that the car came for her?
Yes.
Okay, so then why were they thinking that she walked up the stairs?
I don't know. So what happened was, the car, her driver picked her up from the party. He dropped her off at her apartment. And then he drove off.
Yeah.
But then she ended up the stairs in her car, in the garage. Oh.
Okay, I see. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So either, like, she didn't leave the car and her driver drove her up there in the car or something, but then why is she in the front seat? She tried to go into her apartment, wasn't successful, and the theory of, like, oh, she probably sunk refuge in her car for the night up those stairs. But her shoes were clean, her hair and her makeup wasn't a mess.
Yeah, I find it interesting, though, that she's in her car up the stairs at the house of the person whom is estranged from her buddy?
Lover/friend. Yeah. Her roommate, too.
Yeah.
It's a very weird triangle.
Yeah, all the relationships are weird.
Yeah.
I think... estranged wife should be looked at more. Obviously, they're still investigating this, so they should look in her direction.
You should write them a letter.
Mm-hmm.
Lacey, you have anything?
I don't know. I'm kind of stuck. I mean, I feel like her ex jumps out to me the most just because he had hit her before.
But why
did Did the West, whatever, he got violent with her too, right?
I mean, they all did.
I just
They were all, like, crazy jealous and, like,
and
abusive.
That's part of why I also don't get, because, like, they've been in these situations before. What would she have done tonight that tipped one of them over the edge past just knocking her around and killing her? And then also, if she made somebody that angry enough to do it, don't you think they would have beaten her up a little bit more than just a broken nose and broken ribs?
They found, so, broken nose, broken ribs, but what's the official cause of death? Carbon monoxide poisoning?
Monoxide poisoning.
Yeah, so that could have just been they could have knocked her out, which would have been assisted by the alcohol. You're more likely to go out if you have alcohol on board. And then left her in a garage with the car running and died.
Yeah, and maybe even, so maybe,
like, it might not have even been intentional.
Intentional. Maybe she got into it with somebody who knocked her around a little bit, and then they go in the house and lock the door, and they're like, I'm still not letting you in. And she's cold and tired and hurt, and she goes to her car for refuge for the night and isn't thinking clearly and leaves it on and dies.
My thing is that, like, who would have known if Patch came and was, like, angry at her, how did she get up? Like, why is she at the garage?
I could see her taking her shoes off to walk up, especially after being out all night.
Yes, I could see that too, but, like, why? Why did she go up there?
I don't know.
Because, like, if I'm locked out of my house, and it, like, so she's locked out, and it's not like when she's been locked out before, she just always seeks refuge in her car. That's just what she does. No,
like,
she tries to get in. She'll break windows and shit to get in. So, like, why this night did she decide, I'm gonna hike it up these stairs to my car to hang out?
I'm not satisfied with any options. Like, there's nothing that I'm like,
I like
this feels right.
I think that she went up there to talk to the person who's up there. And they got into a fight because, you know,
that's what they do.
With the estranged husband. I mean, they're not divorced. So it's still an affair. And she has this whole reputation of just being, like, for lack of a better word, a whore.
Floozy.
Sorry.
She's just living her life.
And she probably, I mean, what was the ex-wife's name?
Last name was Carmen.
I want to call her Joanne.
Jewel.
Mm.
So maybe Jewel felt. There's also there's a thing that, like, you can, like, sue for. Forget what it's called. Basically stealing someone's affection. Where it's like, if Lacey, I know you and Brandon are married, but I'm gonna go after him anyway.
Rude.
And then, so you could sue me.
It's gonna hurt our friendship.
Because I'm committing some kind of...
Yeah?
I think so. Judge Judy did it.
I feel like there would be a lot of lawsuits with that.
Something I also forgot to mention.
Alienation of affection is a lawsuit brought by a married or formerly married person who alleges that the actions of a third party deprived the married person of the love and affection of their spouse. So you could sue me because
you're taking Brandon's love and affection from me.
Yeah, you and Brandon were trying to work it out, but I just kept wiggling my way in there saying, no, look at me.
That seems really rude, Drew.
Well, yeah, that's why you sue for it. So I could see Jules getting pissed off because this floozy is alienating her husband's affection, and it's not helping their relationship. Maybe she even went in on the cafe as a way to be like, I still love you and I still support you.
Mm-hmm. And he still is messing around with this other
and,
woman.
Yeah, and he's still like, I'm gonna live above the cafe. She is gonna be in the other apartment. So we're not, don't even worry about it, babe. But then the, like, the door's open. And she's just like, you guys are fucking lying to me. And so then, what? For whatever reason, Thelma went up there to say something to her. And she was like, no, I've had it up to here with it. It's late. You're drunk. I'm gonna punch you in the face. The breaking of the ribs is kind of weird.
Bailey, which house was it? Was it, sorry. Which she house was it that she would, like,
fallen?
That's true. Which house was it that she would bang on the windows and stuff when she got locked out of?
The apartment. So here's my thing about the ribs is, could they tell when the cracked ribs was sustained?
They could have. I don't, well, they could now. In the 30s? I don't know if they could back then, and I also don't know if they cared to. But like,
because that is obviously a... the nose had to be like during the murder because she was bloody.
It was fresh.
But like, could the ribs have happened
from before?
Before.
Mm-hmm.
From the toxic men. Yes. Because I was like trying to think about this, like when I like was like researching, like, okay, like maybe she really did just like boink her head down, like, but she's,
maybe she sneezed.
Like, she's drunk, but like she's like smart. She should know better than just starting a car in a closed garage.
Why was she up there?
Yeah.
I can't imagine. I mean, drunk people do crazy shit. Lacey wandered off one night and fell off a curb and got all messed up.
I came home.
But, like, she always I don't think Lacey would climb 63 steps.
Absolutely. To this day.
270 steps.
Yeah. And it? See, and that's more 270. Than what Judith said.
Oh, it's 63 steps divided into three sections. Yeah. You hit the first section and you're just like, well, that was one section.
I mean,
I'm going
I hit
back.
First 10,
you know,
but I'm to like, be past... fair,
so we're all saying, no, that's too many steps. But also, people do tend to be a little bit more willing to do more than normal when they're drinking. Remember the times that we were at ship and we were like, you know what, let's walk here.
Yeah.
And when we were sober, we were like, oh, we're not going to do that again.
Which I'm going to say, she was up there. So obviously, one way or another, she
got
went up
there.
But I don't see her getting locked out of the apartment that she, in the past, has been locked out of and just broken into. I don't see her getting locked out and being like, "Fuck it, I'm gonna go to my car." Why wouldn't she just break in again?
This little map here that you have up is very helpful and also only makes me more confused about what happened.
Yeah. It's a very confusing thing, too. Mm. It's just, like, because, I mean, if you go all the way back, like, did the driver drop her off? Did he not? He was by himself. Could he have lied?
Oh, so the stairs aren't, like, okay, so I was thinking that this was the house with the garage right next to the stairs.
Up the road more. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think she would have walked there unless she had a purpose. And it wasn't to seek refuge.
Or somebody was like, hey. Which I guess would have been a purpose if somebody was like, why don't we come up here for the night?
Mm.
To a garage. Anyway, yeah, I don't. It's tragic. I don't think we'll ever find, actually, like, have an answer.
It's annoying.
The only, like, possible, like, close confession was when Wes died, he, on his deathbed, he told his friend that Thelma's death has always haunted him and that he felt responsible, which, you locked her out, in some way you should feel responsible, I guess.
Yeah, also his estranged wife murdered her.
But over in her 10-year career, Thelma made 120 films and shorts. And she was cremated and then later buried with her mother back in Massachusetts.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
This is frustrating. Sometimes we have unsolved cases, but we feel good about, like, what happened. Like, we kind of come to a consensus, and it's pretty clear. No idea.
I
know what happened, so I feel fine.
I'm not against the mobster having a part in this and then covering it up.
Why, though?
Because she wouldn't give him the restaurant.
You don't think he could find somewhere else?
So the restaurant was doing so well and having so much business. And he knew her. He was sleeping with her. Like,
it was right there.
That was the perfect inn.
No, it was the ex-wife.
Okay.
Maybe if people have any ideas, they can leave us some comments, because I am befuddled.
Do tell.
I already know that. I feel very, I don't know. My problem with my theory that it was the ex-wife is, like, why did Thelma go there?
Yeah. Yeah, I could get on board for being the ex-wife, but just still, I have questions.
Yeah.
I just don't understand. Like, if she was at her apartment, that'd be one thing. But why was she up there? Like, if her boyfriend was going to beat the shit out of her and murder her, why would he do it up there? Was Jules home?
I think so.
So,
could she have done the thing that she does, where she bangs on the windows and shit to be let in, and the wife came out and was like, this is the last fucking time that you're doing this.
No,
and
Jules doesn't stay down in the apartment.
Yeah, Bailey, can I explain?
I got him in two places.
This apartment is where Thelma Todd and her buddy live above her cafe.
Yeah.
To get to Roland's house, she had to go up the stairs and then down this road. And in the Roland's house is where Jules lives.
Mm-hmm. There's too many relationships here.
Mm-hmm. No, there's just three.
And places.
The one, yeah, the more three that I mentioned there. Here, I'll break it down for you this way. Ready?
Right. Yeah.
So, you live here in this house.
Okay.
And nice. Brandon lives in this apartment building over here.
With his floozy.
Bailey also lives in the apartment down here.
No, I'm not his floozy.
And
I've been betrayed on all sides.
Bailey parks her car up here in the garage where you are living.
Oh, disrespectful.
But
I am going to kill her. It is the ex-wife.
Well, there's another thing. Like, why was she allowed? Why did ex-wife allow her to park her car there?
Yeah, why is her car even
there? So I feel like because it's technically Roland's home still, he allowed it.
Yeah. And do you think that pissed off Lacey?
Probably.
I think that his wife, I'm on board, Drew. I think that she killed her and he knew or suspected that it was her. And that's why
he felt guilty. Because had he not been fucking with her,
the flanderer he was,
Lacey would not. So if Lacey wouldn't have had killed Bailey, Brandon would feel responsible. Because why would Lacey kill Bailey if Bailey and Brandon?
Why are we killing me?
Because I was already involved in some kind of scenario earlier.
I've already killed her off.
Yeah,
dating my husband.
this theory could make sense because, like, I did read that, like, after like a couple years after her murder, Roland and Jewel did like officially divorce.
Yeah, because he's like, stop killing my girlfriends. We can't get past this, Jules. You're killing them.
This is a big thing.
So now I'm wondering, so like, I'm still kind of like, with the theory though, why did she go up there? To confront Jules? About what?
She was drunk and wanted to fight somebody.
Maybe she couldn't get into the apartment. So she was like, screw it. I'm going to go sleep in his house. And Jules was like, are you kidding me?
No, the fuck you're not.
Yeah. You park your car here. You're already living with my husband.
I can kind of see that logic, right? You lock me out, fine. I'm going to go sleep in your nice big house up the hill.
Mm-hmm. And I'm assuming
she's trying to get in, and Jules comes out, and she's like, no, I've had enough of this.
Yeah.
They have an altercation. They have words. She punches her in the face.
She falls back and hits and then the maybe, car hard. Yeah. She hits the car hard because she's also unsteady on her feet because she's had alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what breaks her ribs. And Jules just kind of like throws her in the car.
Yeah. And or again, like, maybe.
And is like, sleep. You can sleep it off in your car.
Yes.
And goes back in the house. And then the next morning she comes out and she's like, well, shit. She seems to be dead. And that's why she turns the car on. Although
DNA is not a thing.
She had, couldn't have been her dead blood yet. Her blood saturation was 75% to 80%. But she had to be alive.
That can go back to she and Jules had the altercation. They fought and Jules was like, fuck you. You're not coming to my house. Went in, closed the door. And what's her face? Our victim. Crawled into her car and she's like, I'm gonna sleep it off in here, turn the car on without thinking, and died. I think that it's a risky way to kill somebody to put them in a car and turn it on and hope that they don't come to their senses enough before they die.
I agree. I think it was an accidental murder, like a manslaughter.
Manslaughter. I'm glad we flushed that out. We should write to somebody.
LAPD.
Mm-hmm.
I think they listen, though, so we don't have to.
Us?
Oh, nice. Yes, they're listening. We do have such a wide net that we've cast.
Mm-hmm. The LAPD.
They're right. Well, Merry Christmas, everybody.
Well, I was going to say,
this is a Christmas episode.
She carried her shoes, which is why they weren't scuffed.
Mm-hmm. And her shoes were back on her feet.
She put them on as soon as she got there.
I'm not putting my heels back on after I take them off. Get the fuck out of here.
You're also not a movie star.
She had a different relationship with her heels than we do.
Then why would she walk barefoot?
The problem was putting them on dirty? In the first place.
Were her feet dirty? I didn't read anywhere that her feet were dirty.
Hmm. Okay. Could the driver have lied and said that he dropped her off the cafe, but really
don't start changing. We already figured this out.
All right.
Throw wrenches in what we've got figured out.
I'm lying.
Wrapping it up now. Merry Christmas, everybody. This was a Christmas episode, sort of, because it's Christmassy. Christmas is around it.
Christmas is around it.
There was Christmas gifts mentioned, and
that's
it's
right. 100
took place in December, so Christmas. Yes, we're reaching.
The same logic as Die Hard.
Oh,
yeah, you're. That is a Christmas movie
because it takes place in December.
It's literally a Christmas party. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Patreon's on sale.
Huh?
Patreon's on sale.
Yes. I would be interested to hear from people if you posted something on TikTok.
I will.
Or people.
What their thoughts are.
Yeah, their theories. Yeah. If they agree or disagree with us. And if you disagree, I would really enjoy knowing what you think happened.
I like reading them. Sometimes people do put comments on the TikToks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And stuff.
I like reading through and seeing what they say.
And I would like other viewpoints.
Yeah.
Lacey had a different viewpoint, and I talked her into my
viewpoint.
She
worked me around. Now I know what happened.
Yeah.
I was so confused before.
It's called brainwashing.
I don't think so. I think it's just a good theory.
No, I think that Lacey was a little confused about... She thought that like there were 10
people.
I
was confused about who lived where, and...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think once I broke it down and showed her that she lived up on the hill in Brandon's house, and Brandon was down the hill with his hussy.
If the people are listening haven't yet, Bailey, are you going to put this on the TikTok when you make the TikTok? The picture? This picture,
this,
I mean?
This picture? Yeah, because this is probably the best picture that there is of it. Because even when I was like researching it, I was like, what the fuck are they talking about? Like, stairs in a house above this? What? Yeah. This makes it very clear.
Yeah, so if you're listening and you haven't seen a TikTok about it yet, go look at it so you can see the picture, because I feel like it really helps understand why it was so confusing.
All right, any other announcements before we sign off?
We'll see you next week.
Not for me.
Our Shopify or something has a little sale going on right now.
Oh, yay.
Ooh.
Put the link somewhere.
I mean, that's up to you. It's,
send me the link so I can put it somewhere.
Hold on. It's currently, we're offering 40% off for your entire order if you order before Christmas.
Oh!
Oh, that's nice of us.
With
Secret the, Santa with the just be
coupon code Christmas24. So you never forget. Stay tuned for our future episodes. I think we're doing something fun soon in a different format, so that'll be fun.
I thought you were talking about next week, and I was like, no, it's not going to be fun. Nope.
It'll be sinister.
Yep. It's never fun. Well, that was sinister.
And we were sarcastic.
And we hope you keep listening.